Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of First Alliance Church in Lexington, Kentucky. The sermon you're about to hear, How Do We Know There Is a God?, was preached by our lead pastor, Paul Smith, on Psalm chapter 19. It was recorded on Sunday, May 30th, 2021, and is part of our series, Asking for a Friend.
All right. Parents, if you have one of those praise packs, you can pull those out right now. And kids, if you want to draw a picture of anything you see on the screen behind me during the service, you can draw those. You can give those to me after the service. I'd love to see those myself, Pastor Tim or Hannah. Those would mean so much to us. And so, and adults, and anybody else in the room, you have a copy of the scriptures, go to the Old Testament book of Psalms, chapter 19. And I don't know if First Alliance is your home church, but make sure you have a church that teaches and preaches the scriptures faithfully, Psalms 19. And if you're visiting, a little bit about us, we take God, his word, his mission very seriously. We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we take God very, very seriously. So if you're turning to Psalms 19, just a couple things. We want to remember Memorial Day and the significance of this. Those who've lost their lives in service to our country, we want to thank you for them. Good news regarding the Paid in Full. You'll be getting more information about that next week, but that's all good news. Paid in Full allows us to go into the next calendar year debt-free, which is just fantastic. We can maximize ministry. We can just continue to be the church that God's called us to be, and so that's also good news. But hey, what it's all about, facilities and all those ministries, it's about this. You see, our salvation candle is lit again this week, and so we praise the Lord for that. Absolutely. We had two individuals come to faith in Christ this past week, and we praise the Lord for that. We want to be a place where people come to faith in Jesus Christ. It happened right here in our church, and so people asked some poignant questions to them about do they know Jesus, and they met Jesus for the first time. It was real for them, and so we're just excited about the unique work that God is doing here at First Alliance, and we're excited that you're part of it. And also, just let me acknowledge I'm so glad that the kids are with us this morning. This is probably the most unique speaking crowd I've ever had. You know, Noah's got the kids. I've got a good friend named Tom. He's the leading voice in Trinitarian theology in the world right now. He's in the room also. And then my district superintendent's in the room also. That's a diverse group that I'm speaking to this morning. But we know that God is able. So, and mom and dads, I'll work with you this morning. So point out things in the screen, because I think this will be maybe a message that you can go back to as we continue our series called Asking for a Friend. But let me pray, and then we'll get into the message. So dear Jesus, we know that you're faithful, and we know that you're greater than any event, because you love it when your word is preached and people come to know your love and the reality of who you are. So Jesus, you be high and lifted up, and the church said together, amen. And this series is our summer series called Asking for a Friend, and we're dealing with some of the common questions that people have about the Christian faith. Like next week, Dr. Kevin Brown from Asbury will be speaking. Does faith really work? I mean, does it really, really work in the nitty-gritty issues of life? You know, and the reason for this series is people that you would least expect, have questions about God and the person of Jesus Christ. They have questions about the person of Jesus that you worship and you love and you trust. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15 that we should always be prepared to give an answer, to give the reason for the hope that we have. Now, not just we have hope, what's the reasons for our hope? And this is, in essence, a soft apologetic series that our faith, our Christian faith, has good reasons. It's faith. It's not blind faith, but there are reasons for why we believe. Now, apologetics might not seem too exciting to you, because I know each Sunday there are people with deep pain, deep hurt that will not go away, questions that go unanswered, and mountains, struggles in their lives that just don't seem to move. Well, today I hope that you are just see the grandness and the greatness of your God. One of the passages that communicates the grandness and the greatness of our God clearer than any other is Psalm 19. And last week we said that the Bible communicates God, or God uses the Bible to communicate it, to communicate to us, and we can trust him. But the Bible says that there's something else that God has created to communicate with us, and it's creation. Look at what it says. In verse 1 of Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of who? God. So creation, the stars, the sun, the moon, the reason for what they exist is they communicate, they speak that God is behind this and he is great and he is glorious. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes to the ends of the earth, their words to the ends of the world. They communicate that God is great, he is glorious, but there's a question that must be asked. And there's a question that our culture's asking. Is there really a God? I mean, is there really a God? And there was a time in my life where I really wrestled with this. I mean, is there a God because the Bible just says so, or is there reasons beyond the Bible? See, James Emery White says this, a new generation of spiritual seekers are asking whether there is a God, but are doing so separated from the dynamics that led previous generations to hold to a deep abiding faith. And people will say because you can't test God in a scientific lab, then you really can't know him. They may say, well, I really can't know there is a God. Well, you know this, is you really can't scientifically prove that there was Caesar, but we have good reasons to believe there was Caesar. You can't scientifically prove that Abraham Lincoln existed, but we have really good reasons that he existed, scientific reasons for love and freedom. But we have really good reasons to believe that those things exist. And very quickly, let me give you three compelling reasons to believe in God. And these were a game changer for me. And these were a game changer that just kind of changed everything to where I said, yes, yes, I truly believe that there's a God. Well, this morning, I took my dog out. My dog got me up at 4 a.m. in the morning like he always does. And we went outside and I smelled air. And air, how did that get there? My dog went to the yard and he walked on the grass. Grass, how did that get there? And under the grass is dirt. How did dirt get there? A bird flew overhead and it chirped. How did the bird get there? I looked up to the sky and there were stars. How did they get there? And that tree, my neighbor's tree, that when the leaves fall, his leaves fall in my lawn. How did that tree get there? And it really shouldn't be there. How did it all get here? How did it get here? All this something. And we know that something doesn't come from nothing. And you look around and there's life and we see very clearly, we can observe that life doesn't come from non-life. See, the very first compelling reason to believe in God is this cause and effect. There's these effects of creation. There's these effects of life. What's the cause behind all of that? Very simple law of cause and effect. Who's the cause behind all the effects of life? See, the universe had to have a beginning. It could not start it itself. It had something, it had to have been caused by something else. That something is someone that is God. This is where I need a volunteer. Maggie, this is where I need you. Maggie's like, okay, this is called Newton's cradle. One of the most popular items in our staff office. Just a little straight. Now see that ball right there? Pull that ball back far and let her fly. Oh, good job. One more time. Not as hard. There we go. Okay, now watch what happens. Some of us will hear this sound the rest of the day in our head. All right. Can we give Maggie a round of applause? Thank you, Maggie. Newton's cradle was an illustration that he simply communicated this. The action of the balls will not start by themselves. An outside force had to start it. We just observe that from life. And the energy winds down. It eventually stops. Nothing winds up. And that's a principle all around us, that life started and all of life is winding down. And it is eventually going to a point to where we meet the one who started it, our creator, the God of the Bible. It says in Genesis chapter 1:1, in the beginning, God, God was before it all. He created it all. Was the heavens and the earth. Now here's a photograph. Does anybody know who this gentleman is? Anybody? Anybody? Thank you for your honesty. No. No. He's very popular in Germany because he's this guy. He's Enro Rubik. Ring a bell? Is that toy, invented the toy that you all own, don't play with. Except my son. He gets it. But he was the designer of the Rubik's Cube. The Rubik's Cube didn't just come together by itself. A designer, an engineer, had to bring it together. And we see this principle behind every painting, there is a painter. Behind every watch, there is a watchmaker. Behind every building, there is an architect. There's something behind it all. And all of this thing called creation, there is a creator. Well, there's cause and effect. There's also design and order. The universe is not just thrown together. We just see design and order and everything that is needed for life to exist. This up here, right here, is nine elements. This is an amino acid. And there are 200,000 amino acids in one human cell. And the astronomer Sir Fred Hoyle has written that it would take 290 times the estimated age of the Earth for one amino acid to come together and exist the way it does if it came together by itself. But I think someone is behind it, someone's putting it together. And the greater the design, it shows the greatness of the designer. Well, just have a scenario that you're wandering in the desert and all of a sudden you come across the space shuttle. And you learn that the space shuttle is perfectly put together. I mean, it's ready to go. It's fueled up. Everything's needed. You could go to space right now. Well, you could say, well, a great windstorm came around about, and all the metal and all of the paint and all the gasoline came together and created the space shuttle by accident, by happenstance. That's one thing you could say. Or you could say that there was designers and there was teams and there was intentionality, creativity, and purpose. You see, everything that exists shows that there's design and a designer and there's order. It would be foolish to say that the space shuttle came together by itself, for the Bible says it's also foolish to say there is no God, because we see evidences of this creator all around us. There's design, order, cause, and effect. There's also tacos. You didn't see that coming, did you? Did you? There's also tacos. I love tacos. I'm not a lightweight taco eater. I'm heavyweight champion some days, okay? I love tacos. I have a desire for tacos. And because I have a desire for tacos, there are what? Tacos. Yes. Yes. I also have a desire for fun and laughter. And you know what? There exists fun and laughter. I also have a desire for deep, meaningful moments with my wife. And you know what? There are deep, meaningful moments for my wife. I have these desires, and there are entities outside of me that fulfill these desires. C.S. Lewis said this: creatures are not born with desires unless satisfactions for those desires exist. A baby feels hunger. Well, there is such thing for food as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there is such thing as water. Men feel sexual desires. Well, there is such thing as sex, Lewis said. If I find in myself a desire which no experience of this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Human history shows that all throughout human history, we have desired to know a God-like being. It's in us, and nothing of this world satisfies. Another toy, another purchase, another achievement. We're created for something more. One of the most interesting manifestations throughout civilization is the deep spiritual hunger for God in men and women. It's called the God gene. Is that God created us to know him, and nothing will satisfy except him. Ecclesiastes 3 says this: he has made everything beautiful in his time. He's also set eternity in the human heart. Our desire for eternity and for him, and yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Why is this? Well, Pascal said this: there's a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man, which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator through Jesus Christ. There's design, order, cause, effect, God gene, a desire to know him that's placed there by him. There are compelling reasons to believe in God. But here's the big deal. What difference does this make? I mean, really, God is communicating in creation and all throughout time and space. He's real. He's there. He can be known. Well, the first thing is this. Life's not ultimately about us. It's about him. Life's not ultimately about you. See, the sun, the earth revolves around the sun. The moon revolves around the earth. We revolve around God. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of whom? God. The heavens are great, but they're all about God, and our life is all about him and knowing him. One author said this, it's not about you, period. It's not. The meaning of this life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams or your ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you and I must begin with God. The search for meaning in life has puzzled people for thousands of years. That's because we typically begin at the wrong starting point, ourselves. We ask self-centered questions like, what do I want to be? What should I do with my life? What are my goals? What are my ambitions? What are my dreams? We focus on ourselves. We'll never work. Meaning and fulfillment comes when we focus on God. Life's not all about you. Here's the second thing. You look around, everything in this room has a purpose. The lights have purpose so we can see. The chairs have purpose so you can sit. Your shoes have purpose so you can walk. Everything has purpose. And so do you. You were created, and you were created for a purpose. And culture says that there's a purpose, maybe to accumulate things or to achieve or this or that. But God says, you were created to know me. And he created them male and female to know him and be loved by him. And Ephesians chapter 2 says, it says that when we are in Christ, that we are Christ's workmanship, created to do good works. And when we know his purpose and live out his purpose, the Bible says that we reflect the person of Jesus Christ. So we were created to know his purpose. We were created to know the Creator. But God is huge and God is big. How can I know this Creator personally? Well, maybe honeybees can help. Let's go honeybees. This is honeybees. And we'll show this over and over. And this is a hive. And do you see that one right there that's doing that dance that looks like he's struggle bus? Okay? It's really not. Something significant is happening. This honeybee was out with thousands of other honeybees. And this honeybee found a large, large treasure of nectar. And he is coming back in great excitement, communicating to all of the rest of the bees where this nectar is. In essence, those wiggles right there means, you know, go down to Lowry Lane, take a left, go three blocks, go to, you know, Nicholasville Road, take a right, bypass Chick-fil-A because it's always crowded. You know, okay, you bypass that, then all of a sudden, there's this whole bunch of nectar. He's communicating to those bees, and eventually all of the bees will understand it. And on the count of three, the bees say, go. And they all go out together and get this nectar. Bees can communicate to bees. Now, as much as I would try, and I communicate for a living, if I go to the hive and say, guys, there's a hive down there. There's nectar down there. Go, it'll be good. They'd sting me. But a bee can communicate with a bee. Okay, here's where I'm going with this. God seems great. He is great. He's big and he's glorious, and he communicates in creation. We see the universe. We say, could I ever know this God? Well, if bees are the best way to communicate with bees, do you know the best way to communicate with humans is? Humans. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through prophets and many times in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us, meaning he's communicated to us by his son. He knew that the best way to communicate to us, his creation, humans, was to send his son to be human into this world so we really could know what his love is like, his grace is like, his power is like. He communicated in our language so we could know his love specifically. You see, you can know your creator through the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He also said, for God so loved the what? World, that he gave his only begotten who? Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That word begotten means of the very essence of. If you want to know what your God is like, look to Jesus, who came to this world, took our sin on himself, died on a cross, was buried in the grave for 3 days, paying the penalty for sin that we deserved, was resurrected so we could have newness of life. And anyone who believes in him is born again, Jesus says. So here's the question is this, your creator, do you know him? Not just know about him, but God created you for a purpose, and that purpose is for you to know him first, to know him first as your creator and then live out his created purposes. May 19th, 1972 was the day I was born. Do you know the day when you were, when I was physically born? Do you know the day when you were born again? Meaning you saw that there's something beyond this physical life, there's a spiritual life, and you're created to be made new on the inside. If you don't know that, we would love to pray for you after this service so you can be sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Do you know him, your best friend, this one called Jesus? Now, we who know him, that's just the beginning. There's another question, is this. How is he asking you to trust him? We weren't destined to just go through this life by ourselves. Maybe he's asking you to open the Bible a little bit more throughout the week. Maybe he's asking you to put some sin to death. Maybe he's asking you to step out in courage. Now maybe he's asking you to maybe let loose a little bit financially to the resources that he's given you. How is he asking you to trust him? And trust is hard. Trust is difficult. But behind all of creation, behind all of the world, there's a cross. And that cross is a T-shape that says, you can trust me because I loved you and I die for you. You can trust me as your God. Do you know him? And how is he calling you to trust him? There is a God. He's plainly written it all over creation that he's here. And he wants you to know him, and you can know him deeper today. Hey, I'm going to ask the prayer team to come at this time and also the worship team to come at this time. And kids, you did so good. And look, Pastor Paul finished early just for you and your parents. And so, but they come and they're just simply going to ask you a question. How can I pray for you? But hey, with every head bowed and every eye closed, let's pray. And so, Father God, I know that this is an unrepeatable moment. And we know that you've spoken in creation, but you've also spoken through the cross. And that is the question is, trust me. And I pray that every child here knows you as their Lord and Savior. And every adult knows you as their Lord and Savior. We never want to take that for granted. And so once again, individual, if you're here and you want to know Jesus, we'd love to pray for you after the service. And those of us who are struggling to trust, and we know that trust is a daily growth. There's a church, there's friends. We reach up to heaven and we reach out knowing that you are found faithful. And the church said together, amen.
Thanks for listening. Here at First Alliance Church, we love God, love others, and live fully engaged in Christ's Great Commission, starting in Lexington, Kentucky. To learn more about our church or to hear other sermons like this one, visit us at faclex.com.